Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and whenever it is on this amazing day, the last day of August as I record this, live from Odds Cafe, West Hayward Road in Asheville. If you're ever in Asheville, or if you are in Asheville, check out Odds. It's amazing. Audrey is the owner, and her and the team do a fantastic job of just giving out smiles, great coffee, yummy desserts, quiches, and all kinds of stuff. You can even, I haven't done this, you can even come in the evening and have a beer as well. So, big shout out to Odds Cafe. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, and this is Coffee and Christ. This is my weekly share of the daily practice that has literally transformed my life. For those of you who are new to the podcast, nothing is rehearsed or scripted. It is totally spontaneous, and that's the way God speaks, but the key is consistency. So as long as I am consistently in the Word and aware and super aware and just looking for expectantly how God is going to work, things just emerge, and it enables me and allows me to just glorify God in my life every single day and look at every day as a blessing. As I'm sitting here recording, the sun is coming up over a building. It's a cool little area where this coffee shop is. There's a huge garage door. I'm sitting right at a window seat. The temperature, there's a slight chill out there, but it just feels good. The energy is good. So let's go to the verse of the day to start. And it's Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful verse. And in my life, I've definitely been there where my spirit has been crushed. I know people and have known people whose spirits have been crushed. Maybe your spirit is crushed right now, or maybe you know someone whose spirit is crushed. So guess what? Isn't this a refreshing, inspirational verse? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. So if you're brokenhearted, the Lord is moving closer to you. So get close to Him. Turn to Him in those moments. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Here's the thing. Your spirit being crushed, that's like, I think that is critical condition. That is emergency procedures needed. You cannot operate effectively at all in this world with a crushed spirit, because we need the spirit to live. We can't live on the soul. We can't live on this world, what we see, touch, feel, hear. It's unmanageable. It's overwhelming. Witness the state of our world today. That's why we see much of the strife here. So the big trick is to go from living from the soul to shifting to the spirit. Some would say living from the flesh and shifting to the spirit. Living from the desires, which will be endless in our lives. The desires will never cease. So it's shifting from those desires to the spirit, being spirit led, Holy Spirit led in my case. If you're not a Jesus person, think of it as your intuition or a higher power. But that's where we have to shift. So here God is speaking out into me and into you in some way, I think. If you're brokenhearted, If you know someone in your life that's brokenhearted, pray this prayer that they know that the Lord is close to them and that He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So isn't that salvation? I mean, isn't that, that's the good news of, oh, yes, my spirit is crushed. I don't have hope. Well, you know where to go. There is an answer for you. There is a solution. I love it. Beautiful stuff. All right, let's go to a plan for today and see if I can get this thing pulled up. All right, here we go. 31st devotional. And the title of this is Grace for Both Sons. The older son was indignant after seeing his father's actions. This older brother may have worked hard and faithfully, tended to the fields, but he was lost in his father's house. There was no awakening. There was no honesty. There was no action. The truth is, he too was a prodigal son. He too had a heart that was far from the father. He too was lost. Let's see here. I want to make sure. Yeah, okay, I'm reading from the right place, the devotional. Yeah, okay. The truth, too, is he too was a prodigal son. He too had a heart that was far from the father. He too was lost, but he didn't see it. Tim Keller put it this way. The bad son was lost in his badness, but the good son was lost in his goodness. Oh, yes. And we're talking, of course, about the prodigal son. And this has come up recently in another reading that I've been doing, so it's fascinating the way God works. So the good son was lost in his goodness. And isn't that true? It's so easy to become kind of self-righteous. And to think that, oh, I deserve, look at all that I'm doing. Oh, it's a slippery slope. And the prodigal sons, what a great example. The one son going off and doing bad, and the one son staying home and doing what he thought he was, quote unquote, supposed to do. Therein lies the tension. You got to be you. You got to be genuine you. And go to God to help mold you and form you. Use people in your life as mirrors so they can reflect back to you what it is you need to work on. Whatever you get excited about, that's insight. Whatever you get upset about, that's insight. But use that insight. Remember, we're in a spiritual warfare. That isn't with humans, flesh and blood. It's with the spiritual realm. It's that second heaven that I talk about. Thank you, Chris Valentine. It's the second heaven, the demons that we're really dealing with. So this is really good. You may never have been to a distant country. You may have an impressive religious resume. You may have followed all the rules. You may have read the entire book, thinking of all the people you know in the distant country who really need to hear it. But I wonder if you are the one Jesus has been talking to all along. Luckily, when the older brother was in the field, the father left the celebration and went out to him. He engaged the son directly. What does this tell us about God? God longs for a relationship with his children, whether your life resembles the older son or the younger son. You know, in my own life, this is something that, oh my goodness, God has kept coming after me and coming after me. Those of you who know my story, I came to know God much later in my life. And he's called me now into another chapter where my sole focus is on what this just referenced, a relationship with him. So that is the chapter I'm in right now, is to put all my energy into building relationship with him and not building relationship with anybody else in terms of personal significant relationship. And so this comes at a good time for me, because I have felt that tug from God to, okay, Robert, you need to focus on me exclusively in building my relationship so I can mold you and fine-tune you and grind you and strip you down if need be, to build you back up into the man that I originally created you to be. And not so you can have a great life, but so you can honor me the way I put you in this world to honor me and to do the things with others in community that will allow them to go through a similar process. So it's really beautiful. Let's continue. Even after the younger son's insulting choices and reckless living, the father embraced him with kisses and hugs. And after the older brother's harsh words and disrespect, the father lovingly explained himself. The patriarch would never have had to explain himself in ancient times. Households were not democracies, they were dictatorships. Yet the father answered the older brother's anger with gentle patience and grace. And that's so true. Anytime you're facing anger, go to gentle, go to patience, and go to grace. Those three words, gentle, patience, grace. That's some wisdom that I've learned to incorporate intense emotional situations. And I strive to be the one, I'm not 100%, but I strive to be the one that is on the end of gentle patience grace versus the anger one. Because someone has to play that role. If you're angry, if two people are angry, guess what? It's not going to come out well. There will be no godly results in that moment. It'll just be more strife and more. Satan is winning in those moments when two people are angry. So that's part of the power and beauty of linking up with people who follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean you get in your little club and everybody else is jacked up. If you don't follow Jesus, I won't associate with you. No, it means that the people that are in your life that you intentionally spend time with are people who understand the value of gentle, patient, and grace. Because the chances improve greatly that in times of conflict, someone will know, one of the two will know how to respond. All right, let's continue. We expect God to be an angry father who demands justice. But through Jesus, he gives us love and grace when we don't deserve it. Yeah, and you know, because God was late in life for me, I've never expected God to be an angry father who demands justice. I just feel like he just loves me so much that he sent his son to die. So, I mean, with that kind of love, how can I even view him as angry? If I view him as angry, I think it's something in me that needs to change. So there is that mirror thing that I talked about again. He gives us, this is Jesus, he gives us love and grace when we don't deserve it. Amen. And he is who we turn to when we need healing. He's who I turn to when I need healing. If I'm feeling any of those negative emotions, I quickly give them to Jesus. Things transform almost immediately. You know, there's so much out there in psychology, which are well-minded people. But there's so many labels that are put on folks, and there are so many, theories based on scientific research on what this means when a person does this or that and the other. You know what supersedes all that? Jesus. Jesus supersedes all of that. And I understand that humans have a need to try to dissect everything. And that's good. That's serving people too. God will work all things together. Romans 8:28, as my friend reminded me recently, God will do that. He's going to work all things together. So I do not judge those who, use psychology to serve the greater good of people. But don't idolize psychology over God. Psychology can be an idol too. Filling your mind with human wisdom can be an idol too. When you don't take into account the fact that God supersedes all of that, that what God did by sending His Son and His Son teaching us how to live, it's all right there. Okay, so let's continue. Ultimately, the story in Luke 15 isn't about two sons who disobey. It is about a father who loves his children unconditionally. And isn't that cool? We're all his children. He loves us all unconditionally. And I think heaven on earth is those moments where we can be in communion with others and we feel that unconditional love. And it may be just for a moment, but those are the heaven on earth moments. So my encouragement to you is, of course I'm biased, find a community of people that you can surround yourself with that has that kind of heart. Now, we're not going to be perfect. No community is perfect because we are made of sinful human beings. And every perspective is going to be a little bit different. But I would encourage you to turn to a community that has a foundation of Jesus. That's all. If the foundation is Jesus, and when the going gets tough, hopefully all the time, that's the ultimate goal, right? But particularly when the going gets tough, turn to Jesus' words. Turn to the Word, the Bible, and use that as a reference point for conflict resolution versus putting a label on somebody. Self-discovery is, I think, the biggest, and having that curious mind about self, taking full responsibility for your actions, me taking full responsibility for my actions and my words, not my outcomes, but other people are involved in my but with my actions and words, being careful to set expectations on others. All those things are so important. Jesus is the answer to everything. All right, this is really moving for me. I love it. Okay, here we go. When you have sinned, how do you envision God and what He thinks of you? That's the question. So I just think God is sad when I've sinned. He's just like, Robert, come on, dude. And if it's if it's sin out of ignorance, then he's like, okay, here's the lesson. You didn't know, but now you'll know. And hopefully I don't have to learn the same lesson repeatedly. But if it's sin and it is because I was aware, then he's sad. And I think he's sad. And then he's like, dude, come on. You are better than that. Remember, Robert, I sent my son. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I repent, Lord. I repent to you. Forgive me. Here's the lesson I've learned. And I'm moving forward in faith and stepping with the Spirit. Boom, shakalaka. That's what it's all about. Okay, and how? So answer that question for yourself. When you sinned, how do you envision God and what he thinks of you? And the second part, second question is, how does his never-ending grace and love fuel the entire aha process? It is just, listen, anything that I go through, any circumstance, there's either a lesson for God, from God, that I need to learn, or it's Satan trying to distract me and trip me up. Either way, I've got the answer. So it really doesn't matter if it's coming from God or Satan. So Satan can't deceive that way, because I'm going to respond the same way to any circumstance. Take it to the cross. Look in the mirror and move forward with grace, patience, and gentleness. All right, that's going to wrap us up for today. Thank you so much for joining me on Coffee and Christ. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed. Check out the show notes for all the other ways that you can be in contact with me, with us, and we love you all. Just peace be with you, and have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening. Check us out on the podcast next week. And I may even have one coming at you this Monday. All right, take care, y'all.